One of those things was extravagant manifestations. The Lord told me that we would have extravagant manifestations of God's glory and revelation among us in the days that are here and in the days to come. But then the Lord also spoke to me. He said, that's not all part of it. He said, there's another thing that is going to be happening among you in this season. And he said, there's also going to be extravagant worship that is going to be happening among you. Now, last week, even on Sunday, I began to experience this change of seasons. And last Wednesday evening, when we were here in this sanctuary, I had one of the most powerful experiences in worship that I've had in a very, very, very long time. Let me tell you what it was like. It was like this whole room was filled up with oil, and we were just submerged in it, and it surrounded us, and we were just, immersed in this vat or this atmosphere of just oil. And we know what the oil represents, right? The oil represents the Holy Spirit. It represents the anointing, correct? Biblically. And the sense that I had, I sensed peace, I sensed joy, but the sense that I had was that we were immersed in the Lordship of Jesus. That we were safe underneath His Lordship. That as we were positioned in a certain position, that blessings and flow and anointing and safety and security and all of these things were emanating out of being in this position underneath His Lordship. It was an amazing thing. And as a matter of fact, when I walked up here and turned around to begin to just enter that part of the service where we were just going to do whatever the Lord was speaking to do at that point in time, I looked. And when I looked, I saw a throne set up right about where Howard Watson's sitting, right there in the middle of the aisle. So you guys better watch out. You're right there. I saw a throne set up right there, and I saw a king wearing a crown sit down on that throne. And when I saw that, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, "Son, does this please you?" Now let me tell you, I want to talk to you a little bit today about what the "this" was that He was talking about. The "this," as I said earlier, is the Lordship of Jesus, the revelation of His Lordship in the house. And He was asking me, He was saying, "Son, does my Lordship please you, or is there something else that you're looking for?" He didn't say, "Is there something else you're looking for?" I'm saying that to you. But sometimes when the Lord speaks, it's like lightning and then thunder. Lightning comes at one moment, and that's what the Lord says. And then the thunder rolls out of it. There's revelation that can roll out of a single sentence or a single word that God can say. Revelation can roll like thunder. And part of the revelation that rolled out of that is, Lord, it was the Lord speaking to me, "Son, what are you looking for? What do you want? Does my Lordship in this house please you? Is that what you're looking for?" And before I tell you what my answer was back to Him, let me speak about a few other things for a few minutes. The one who sits on the throne in the midst of His people is the preeminent person, if you want to say it that way, the preeminent presence among the people of God. But He has attendants that are with Him that help Him do His ministry, that assist Him in the glorification of God and in His will. There are angels in this place that are here to assist in the glorification of God and the ministry of God in this place. And I'm not here today to preach a sermon on angels, But I do want to share with you a few things about these attendants so that you'll know what their ministry is. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 32, and then it's repeated in Hebrews 1:6. It tells us about the purpose of the angels. It says, let all the angels of God do what? Worship Him. So whatever the angels are doing in our lives, whether they're doing warfare on our behalf, whether they're moving things around, all of that has a desired end to it. And that end is that it point to the head, to the King, to Jesus. Every action is, as well as every word is all intended to go back to the magnification of the glory of God. So those attendants that are in this room helping and assisting in the praise and the honor of God and in the lordship of God are working together for that very purpose, to bring all the attention back to Him. In Psalm 104, verse 4, and then in the next verse, in Hebrews chapter 1, it says this. It says, who, and the who here is talking about God, it says, who makes His angels spirits. Okay, that's how they're created. That's why most of the time we can't see them, because they are spirits. But He also makes His ministers a flame of fire. Everybody say fire. It's an interesting use of, we'll have to get rid of this, it's pulling on me. It's an interesting use of language here. He makes His spirits to be flames of fire, His ministers. And so one of the things that's being said there is that these ministers, these attendants to God's praise, they have a ministry to accomplish in this place, and they're not to be trifled with in the fulfillment of that ministry. Okay, they're focused on it. They have one goal and purpose in front of them, and that's to magnify the lordship of Jesus. A third scripture in Hebrews chapter 1 is in the 14th verse, and it says this. It says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? You know, that's really good news, because you are a part of the group that these angels are ministering on behalf of. And that's great, because they're going to assist us in our meager efforts as humans. In our meager efforts, you can imagine what our efforts look like from a heavenly perspective, right? I mean, our worship, from what it looks like, from what's going on. Heidi, I don't mean anything about it. I love what you do. But you can imagine what our efforts and what is happening here looks like from what's going on in heaven, right? It's meager, because we're human, right? But the Lord loves it, because it's coming from His children. I just had a birthday. And I don't have Pastor Bob here to look at his watch today. I can look down and he's looking at his watch, so I know I need to wrap up. So I'm trying to keep an eye on that today. But I just had a birthday, and I received so many great gifts, and I tried to thank everybody if you gave me something. If I didn't, I just want to say today, thank you from the bottom of my heart. You don't realize and don't really understand how much it means to receive something from your family. It means so much. And some of you gave cards, and some of those cards just blessed me so very, 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 very much. But one of the most precious gifts that I got on my birthday was three little hand-colored cards by my grandkids. Now, compared to the Hallmark cards and compared to the gifts inside some of the other things that I received, it was a meager effort, if you want to look at it from that standpoint. But when I looked at those cards and saw the coloring that was out of the lines and the people that were out misshapen that were drawn on the cards, my name that was misspelled on the cards, there was nothing that meant more to me than that. So I know our efforts seem meager in the light of what can happen in heaven and what does happen in heaven, but God, it pleases God because you're His kids. And He loves you so, so very much. And so those attendants are here to assist us as we worship and as we minister. But make no mistake, they have one goal in mind. And that goal is to magnify and exalt the Lordship of Jesus. And as I was talking to a very dear brother this week, actually I was talking to Damian Broussard, who's been here on Wednesday nights ministering to our prophetic team. And as I was talking to Damian, we had this conversation that I won't share because I don't think it's the right time. But something really became revelation to me again out of this conversation. And I'm going to read a scripture to you as an example of what was revealed to me. And this may be a weird scripture to use as a basis for this. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 10, it says this: "For this reason," and it's talking about a corporate gathering where people are worshiping the Lord all together, and it's talking about problems that are occurring in those worship services, and it's addressing those problems, okay? But it says, "For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of what on her head?" Authority, okay? Because, and this is, I'm not wanting to talk about men and women today, but I want to talk about authority, and I want to talk about power, and I want to talk about angels, okay? It says she should have a symbol of authority on her head because of who? Because of the angels, because of the attendants, and because of what their ministry is, and because of what they're doing. Now, my focus, as I said today, is power and worship and authority. And this scripture is addressing a problem, but it's really drawn from a context of godly order. Okay? And the Lord really revealed something to me that was so awesome, and I just want to share this with you, and this is what it was. The use of power. Now, let me back up. Let me set up a context for this. There is great power in the body of Christ. There is great power that resides in each one of you because you have spiritual gifts and an anointing. And you have gifts and you have talents and you have intellect. And you have all of those amazing things that have been imparted to you from God. But what the Lord said to me is the use of power out from under godly authority is not recognized as valid by the angels. Now remember, Satan, Lucifer, he was powerful as an angel. Powerful. And he exercised his power, but he began to exercise that out from under the authority of Jesus, the King, God. And so when he did that, he became a threat. Heaven began to look at him as not an asset, but a threat. And so when power is used out from under godly authority, it's viewed by the ministers called the flames of fire as strange fire. And the operation of power against authority or separated from authority is viewed by the angels as a threat. Now somebody's saying, well, he's talking to us about his authority. No, I'm not. I'm not talking to you today about my authority. I'm talking to you about the authority of the Lordship of Jesus, because that's what saturated this place. I had my place under it just like you do. All right? And then all of a sudden I had this sense of the holiness and the incredible possibility of what was encapsulated in this house. And I also felt the presence and understood that there is more there. There's more happening here than we can view with our eyes. But all of those things are working together for a singular purpose. And that purpose is to exalt and fulfill the lordship and the authority of the one who sits on the throne. Now, you can remember Nadab and Abihu. Some of you may know their story in the scriptures. They were the sons of Aaron. And one day they took their censers and they filled them with incense and they offered praise before the Lord. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that, right? But it was considered strange fire by heaven because it spoke of the lordship of God. It spoke of His lordship. They're worshiping Him. They're bringing these things to Him. It spoke of His lordship, but it didn't originate from it. Okay? It spoke of God's lordship, but it didn't come from it because it was unauthorized. It was out from under that flow of and promotion of the king. Everybody understand what I'm saying? You say, why are you telling us all this? Because God told me to primarily, but to set up an atmosphere of extravagance. But also understand that when extravagance begins to happen, a lot of things happen. And so remember, there is one goal of this extravagant worship, and that is to magnify the one who sits on the throne. Not to promote my spirituality. Not for any of those other reasons, but it's all expressions to promote the glory of God. I love the extravagant worship of the Bible, where Mary takes the oil of spikenard, 1 pound's worth, 1 pound, breaks it, pours it all over the feet of Jesus, wipes His feet with her hair. It's an amazing expression of worship, of glory, of exaltation and honor. Boy, we're going to break open our alabaster jars, and we're just going to pour them all over our Savior. But Nadab and Abihu, because their worship didn't originate or wasn't really given to promote the lordship of Jesus, then it was counteracted. It was moved against. And God spoke to Moses, and He said this in Leviticus 10:3. He says, "By those who come near to Me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified." And that's not just an Old Testament example. We've got examples in the book of Acts where Ananias and Sapphira brought money that was sanctified or set apart to God, and they didn't handle that rightly. And Peter spoke to them and said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? You've not lied to men, but to God." And then we know what happened as a result of that, that it was moved against. Now, you say, "Well, Pastor, you're scaring me." Listen, there's no reason to be scared. No reason to be scared, because it is God who has set this season. He's the one who has opened the door for you to approach Him. Okay? But there are attendants at the door. There are attendants at an open door. And those attendants are there for one purpose, and that's to assist you in the glorification of Jesus. So our meager efforts are going to be anointed by something that is outside of us. Something from a heavenly origin. The power of God. I'm already sensing it beginning. And only thing I want to say to you is this. When we approach God, we can approach Him like a child. Our efforts don't have to be perfect. They don't have to be. They don't have to be. God doesn't expect that. But man, can they be? Can our efforts be assisted by the angels and by the supernatural? And they will be as we come before the Lord with the same purpose that they have. Let me just say this. Whenever God starts moving, when the Lord, let me back up. I want to move into that, but let me just back up and talk about myself for just a second, not in a bad way, but used to, when the Lord would tell me things like He told me this last time, it would scare me to death. Because I know what human nature is. I've been around the church long enough to see what happens when God starts to move. Anybody else had that experience? People, something starts happening to us. And sometimes it happens to the person who occupies this place. Right. And that is, they start thinking more that they've got a bigger part to play in this than they really do. Yeah. That's scary to me. And anytime before, I've seen better men than me fall to that. Stronger men, more anointed men, more powerful men. And so, up until this point, if I would have ever heard something like that, it would have scared me, and I would have fallen on my face before God in fear more so than anything else, saying, Lord, are you sure this is what you want to do? Because I'm scared to death, because I'm scared that all this stuff that happens to people and leaders when these things began to happen, I'm afraid it's going to happen to me. And the last thing I want in my life is to fail you. As a matter of fact, I've had a prayer, and I don't know that I've ever even told my wife this, but I'm telling her now. I may have. She gets kind of upset when I tell her things in here before telling her. So I'm taking a risk today. Y'all pray for me. Everybody stretch out your hand. God save him. Help his ignorance, Lord. Help her not to be mad at him because he's ignorant sometimes. Thank you, Lord. But I have this prayer, because I've been through what I've been through, Pastor Jack, I've got this prayer. I pray, I say, Lord, if I'm going to mess this thing up, if you can look down the road and see that I'm going to be the one that mess it up, just take me home right now. I don't want that to be my legacy. Just take me out of here. Get me out of the way before I goof this up and make it about me. And I mean that sincerely. Because when I say that, I know I say that to somebody who has the power to do that. You understand what I'm saying? So for the first time in my life, when the Lord spoke this to me, I was able to have joy. Because I remembered the words of Jude. At the end of the book of Jude, whereas Jude, when Jude was praising the Lord, he said this. He said, to him who is able to keep you from falling. My whole faith is in that. My whole faith is in that. So not only is he going to do everything, he's going to keep us straight. In it. So there's no reason to be afraid. Is what I'm trying to say. God's got great things ahead for you guys. He's going to show you things that are going to blow your mind. And what they're going to lead to is they're going to lead to worship. And you're going to see things raised from the dead. And your response is going to be just like Mary. And you're going to come and you're going to take the most precious thing you have in your life, which is your heart or maybe other things, and you're just going to break it and you're just going to pour it out on His feet. And people are going to look at that. They may look at that and say, hey, that worship over there is kind of weird. And Jesus is going to say, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Everybody say, leave it alone. Because she's doing this for me. She's doing this for me. Now, if somebody comes down here and starts undressing or something, then that ain't going to happen. Okay? You understand? I mean, one time, let me tell you, you think that won't happen? One time I was in a worship service, guy came down here, started twirling and taking his clothes off. You were in that worship service, weren't you? I was like, oh, Jesus, we've got the Gadarene demoniac in here. So the pastor looks at me and says, go over there and take care of that. You're like, thank you. Thank you very much. And one thing about it is when you come up against that self-promotion spirit and you come up and you come against it, it gets really mad. Doesn't it? Oh, it gets mad. Because its whole goal is to promote itself. And then when you try to stop that, it goes, how dare you come greatness? My spirituality. But you know what? Our acts of worship, our acts of extravagant worship, when they happen, everybody else that's got the Holy Spirit in the room will go, when they see that, they'll go, yeah. Everybody say, yeah. Yeah. They'll go, yeah, that is extremely appropriate for who we are. I was talking to Shane Hatcher this week, and I'm done. I won't share everything that was said, but Shane's had a major breakthrough with God. Major breakthrough. And when you realize that God has saved your life, has saved your marriage, saved your destiny, there's only one appropriate response to that. That's extravagant worship. It's the only sane response to that. Okay? So I'm all on board with that. I love it. I'm like, God, you should receive this because you're worthy. You're worthy because it's because of your intervention that this happened. If it were not for you, this would not have happened. And we're going to see acts of great and extravagant worship. And I'm so thankful because I believe the Lord, although those acts of worship are going to come primarily from the congregation, I believe the Lord's brought along the right woman to lead us. Amen. And to set that example. And you know why I feel that way? Because of what's in her heart. What's in her heart? Because her heart is pure in the fact that she wants to magnify the Lord. That's the goal. And not just do that from a stage, but wants to do that in her life when she's not on the stage. So I'm thankful for those things. But it's been a great week with God this week. And man, the Lord is just continuing to show me what's ahead. And sometimes when I'm in prayer in the morning, it's like a window is open. And I feel connected, and I feel in my prayer that very thing that he is, that very window that he's opening right here in this service. And I'm going to tell you, it's good. Everybody say good. Good. Oh, yeah. It's good. Yeah. It's awesome. So you're in a good season, folks. You're in a good season, and it's not because of anybody other than God. Not because of anybody other than God. He's going to do great things. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so very much for this wonderful day. And my King, you are worthy. of all praise, honor, and glory. And Lord, I thank you for your presence in this place. And as I watch Heidi's life, for instance, Lord, I know she's married and she has a son, she has loves in her life, but when I look at her worship you, I say only one person is worthy of that type of devotion. And that's you. You are the only one worthy of that type of devotion and outpouring of love. So Father, in every single one of our hearts, sit down on the throne of our life. Talk to him yourself. Father, sit down on the throne of my heart and be Lord there. And let I feel safe under the protection of your authority. And I give you all the thanks and all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.